October 14, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Wafidin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomiradspeak.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Pardon me, yesterday. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Before we begin, we are asking everyone to say a prayer for our beloved brother, Sheikh Qasim Nathari's daughter, Tamina. She's in the hospital. We are asking everyone to say a prayer that Allah will bless her to get well and be able to return back to her family and her community. The Quran's purpose is to bring man to the exact science. 50,000 years relates to America's 50 states. The purpose of the revelation of Quran was to bring man, was to bring within man, reach or put him in hand that which he would need to arrive at the exact science. And that is exactly what happened. It is no accident, or it is not without purpose, that these United States begin from 13 colonies, and then the United States came into being, and those colonies came under the different political order, and they grew to be 48 states and stayed that way for a long time and found it necessary so that their own growth as a nation communicated the best to those of vision and eyes to see. They changed from 48 to 50 states, and aren't we a scientific nation now? We have many references to the two movements, the movement of man in his own thinking or in his own pride, and the movement of the natural world, focus, and then there is a third movement, the movement of God's plan, the Word of God. Revelation, God knows that the natural forces were created to bring us to him eventually. We are going to come to him. He doesn't have to worry about that. That is why when you die, they say, inna ilayhi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Translated, surely to Allah we belong to him, and to him we are returning. You're finished. If you have gone astray, you are not going to stray anymore. You are dead now. You are not going to anywhere on your own. You have joined the natural system that Allah has created to obey his will. Isn't that wonderful? So this is so wonderful to be seeing consciously in the new reality. I wouldn't give anything for this. This is the life. 50,000, five senses. The Quran, Surah 70, Ayat 4, a day, as 50,000 years. So Laylatul Qidra is not talking about what has manifest. It is talking about what can manifest. So it's pronounced Laylatul Qidra, not Qadir. So it is the capacity potential. The capacity is seen in the Quran, the capacity is seen in Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, The capacity is seen and established in the Ummah. So the potential for that capacity is coming down in the month of Ramadan. It is just starting, but it is going to manifest Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He had to receive it so he could be born. It is going to manifest Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. It is going to manifest, and it is coming down as 50,000 years. Day, 50,000 years, community enlightenment based upon the five senses. The Islamic community enlightenment based upon the five senses of man is going to have to reach Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, as though it takes 50,000 years. It is much longer than that. It should say 50,000 light years. The new language now in this world, it should say 50,000 light years. It is coming from the essence of creation, the essence of the universe. Before even the universe had come to its capacity, it was nothing but potential. It is coming from that distance to reach Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, in his five senses. His brain is just not capable of carrying this. He is going to have to entrust it to his heart. And in time, it will communicate from soul to his brain, and they will get it as a slow rain. 1,000 years therein descends into angels and the Holy Spirit. The angels are not on their own. The Holy Spirit is not on its own. With the permission of their Lord from every order or command, not one command up here and command down there. Peace, salam. Because this is Kashirum min Afi Sahira. Translated, it is better than 1,000 years. How can they be but peace when the operator of love and peace is in the whole working? It is the center of the whole working, love and peace. So this is the night of power, and I was not with them. And I think that they are going to have it again tonight, or last night. It was the 27th. Now that you can have it on the 29th and on any odd night. The 27th was last night. I'm pretty sure the 27th was last night. Now the 29th, it was the 29th. The next day is Eid. A lot of time, light bulb ideas. The Quran Surah 70, Ayah 4, Allah day as 50,000 years. The Quran Surah 87, Ayah 9, think it is beneficial. Peter, 2 Peter 3 and 8, day with God is as 1,000 years. Light years with God is time it takes to materialize an idea. The expression light years was introduced by the science of the stars, the bodies in the sky. They know that the scripture, when God says 1,000 years of your time, is maybe like 1 year with God. So when they talk about distance and miles, after a while, these perceptions of time measurement become so burdensome. So when you are talking about distance of the planets and the galaxies from one another, to make it easy, they say light years. But where did they get that language from? Light years, light is also wisdom and knowledge. So to understand it outside of this science borrows it from religion, language. In fact, they borrowed most of what they have from religious language. So the expression light years, it helps us understand how to see a year with God in comparison with a year with man. Man based his time measurement on movement of physical things, objects, right? So the sun is a physical object, and it starts in the morning. Dawn goes and sets, and that is a certain amount of time. And when it comes back, it shows again, it is one day, 24 hours roughly. So this is how man measures time And we survived one winter, and now we are ready for spring and good times and work. So the comfortable temperatures are going to end, and we'll start winter all over again, right? So this is a year, right? But look what has happened. These are physical pictures of changes in the man's life, right? But what about an idea? How long will it take to materialize, to bring about a change which that has ideas, has the potency to do? That is the light years with God. Rainbow bend, but you see light going straight. It is a perfect picture for explaining how ideas work. One idea lights up the area for you to see other ideas. It depends upon on how clear the idea is. If it is too obscure, it is not going to give you much light. It is not going to show you too many things. But the more transparent it is, the better. But in this instance, you are not talking about light. People think light is white. No. A heated up piece of substance will turn white. Certain substances won't even burn white. This particular substance burns and heats up white. But light is not white. If it was white, you could not see. Pure light is transparent. And another thing that is good to observe about light, they say, and I think Einstein is responsible for this, the whole universe bends and even light bends because matter, the whole universe bends, everything bends. But when you see clouds separating and separate and permit small openings after darkness and a heavy rain, you see color bending. That is a rainbow, but you see light going straight. Light does not bend. It goes straight. Have you ever seen the beam coming down through the cloud? It comes perfectly straight. They are not bent. They don't move. The Quran, Surah 71, Ayah 13, what is the matter with them? They are not respond to God. So the Lord is inside me as the will of God. I have the Spirit of God in me, but also God's will in everything he created. So God's will is in me too. And God's will is what eventually overcomes my will, so that my Lord is in me. That's the will of God in me. And there is also my own desires in me to be better. There is my desire to achieve more in goodness, in righteousness, in justice. That movement in me is also the movement brought me back to my Lord. So my Lord is evolving me, isn't he? My Lord is evolving me, and he is in me as his will, so you are not asked to believe in a God that's not really part of your reality. So that's why the question is asked, what's wrong with you that you don't want to believe in your Lord? We are not asking you to believe in something that is not a part of your own reality. You are asked to believe in something that is a part of your own reality, your own life forces and supports, and supported by this Lord, your own life focus guided by the Lord. Your excellent is the will of the Lord, and your excellent is the works of the Lord. So how come you don't believe in the Lord when he's working right inside of you? God is in us. The will of God is in us. The Lord, our God, Lord is in us, in his will and plan for us. The Lord, the function of God is Lord functions in the human being. That is a function in the human being and in everything that he has created and evolved. But in us, more so because that reality can draw in our intellect as it has already done. It has drawn in the intellect of the great prophets and us now. it has drawn into the intellect this reality, this real perception of God also in my workings. In my workings of my own creation, there is the workings of God. And I can see him in the role of Lord in my perception of my own evolution, of my own progress as a human being, trying to be better all the time. So Quran Surah 71, Ayah 17, man created like a plant. God says he has created the human being like a plant. Let's look at a plant. This is knowledge that some of you take lightly. We have a term in this society, knowledge is organic. It has one meaning for you and another meaning that you don't get. One meaning, you know it is from plant life, natural life. But organic means for them what I'm going to explain from that which is in the Quran. They got it from the Quran and they have it in their society. If you get a big dictionary, you will find the meaning of organic. This particular interest for the term organic, it is not the original dictionary. Proceed, God says he created us like a plant. It begins with a seed, doesn't it? And the seed is something that seems dead, isn't it? The seed appears to be dead. You don't take a fresh seed and plant it, dry it out. Become like dead. Then you plant it, right? So you plant the seed in the right environment. The element of the earth, moisture, the right environment causes the seed to swell. It's the moisture that causes it to swell. And it swells and it is fed from in the environment that is put in it. And it first formed a shoot, and then it comes up. But at the same time, it anchors or roots are going down. The same is anchoring itself in the earth and shooting out at the same time. So it's not shooting up without being anchored. And it's not building up with no base or no security like a lot of you who go in these businesses overnight. And it's gone, no roots, no anchor, no security. Second root stem. The planet comes up from the root and then the stem and then branches. And it is a flower plant. It will bud and have a flower. And then at that stage, when it flowers, it is able to reproduce itself. Is that right? How beautiful that is. Now, look at the human being. And let's quickly compare this symbol. The human being, in order to grow, should have human spirituality. If you're dry of human spirituality, you have no human sentiment. You're like a seed that's not getting the moisture, and you stay dead. But if the human sentiment is allowed to form and touch that seed, the seed is like a human heart, you see. So whether it's soft like human nature, pardon me, water is soft like human nature. If we allow our heart to get hold to spiritual teaching, sentiment, teaching that inspire, encourage the human goodness, in the human being, purity, moral, cleanliness, you will grow because of the water softness. Water is soft. Water is not hard. So if you just touch it, it quivers to bring out the true human essence of the person. You need spirituality. Then the person can grow. Fawn hoards all the water. Next comes the knowledge for man of how to establish himself in his environment. But if you don't establish first some moral identity, some human content, then what you will build will be a fawn. And a fawn doesn't even share its life structure, and it's not nice to touch. You have to be careful around it. You can get stuck and picked by it, and it's so selfish, it hoards up all the water. It goes where there is nothing and eats up everything from around it. So you don't find these trees growing where there is not a lot of abundance of water. So they go where there is hardly no water. And that's where you find that thorn bush growing there in hardly no water. So its nature is to hoard the water. It takes it in and hoards it. It has thorns and takes it from the air. It draws all the moisture out of the dry air and roots trying to get it from below. Now, if you would come to try and get the water, it has hoarded it in there, and it has thorns ready to stick you. But if the human grows properly, he comes into the structure kind of life, having the root firm in the earth. So the stem is anchored there, so it's strongly anchored in the ground. And then the branches can come on because there is strength now below. So this anchor structure can support branches. The branches grow on it, and lastly, the flower. Third part, branches. So the branches come on, and they provide resting place and shade for other creatures. It is doing a service, isn't it? Providing shade for other creatures and a resting for creatures that fly in the air. It won't fall off and resist on the lamp. Four flowers. Lastly, the flower comes in four parts. One root, two trunk, three branch, four flower. Beauty, even ugly flowers allow reproduction. So water softens human nature. So the flower comes and then reproduction is possible from the softness of human nature. Like it is, life is made possible from a dead seed. And then the dead seed gives itself, and beauty, it is able to reproduce itself. Even the ugly flower is beautiful. Is that right? The ugliest flower you've ever seen is beautiful. I haven't seen an ugly flower to tell you the truth. Look at the human being now. Look at yourself. Standing. You can imagine yourself, your arms like branches, right? So your feet are grounded down. There, your arms like branches, and look at your head. Doesn't it show the kind of evolved and complicated design that you see in a flower in your body? So you see the simple designs. You see the plant in its structure. In your face, you see the complex design that you see in the flower, right? So where will your reproduction come from? Right up here, baby, the mind, if you don't get germinated seed ideas up there. There's no reproduction. So this is beautiful. The structure is beautiful. It needs to hold up the senses. But the senses have to mature because it throws the senses that you will be reproduced. You have to learn the knowledge. The intellect must learn what has developed here. It has to study what has developed here. It has to study a nature of the growth and in learning of how human beings grow. How he develops, then you can reproduce that. That doesn't come without God's help. The Quran, Surah 73, 1-3, stand and pray. The Quran, Surah 74, 1-3, O you in mantle arise warm. The Quran, Surah 6, Ayah 69-70, duty to remind. The Quran, Surah 62, Ayah 9-10, when the call is made, leave off business. So if we are really Muslims, we have to be an active and not a passive community. We are not a call of sheep, dreamers, or spacewalkers. The Muslim is called by God to be an active community. As a Muslim, you have to register concerns of those around you. You must be concerned with whether they are being mistreated or suffering the burden of their own ignorance. If they need to be enlightened, you are obligated to enlighten them. You must also ask yourself questions such as, are they without business sense? For what reason? Do they have nothing but a life of dependency? If they are your Muslim brother and sister, and you are business-wise, it is your obligation to enlighten them. You must also be concerned if those around you are giving themselves to wild and envious kinds of influences in the Western culture. If you are aware of those damaging, injurious influences, and you see them giving themselves to those influences, then you are obligated to help them rise to the challenge. The Muslim is obligated to stand up and meet the challenge from those things that will work to take us out of the excellent form and excellent future God intended for his creatures. Muslims are protesters. When we give our declaration of faith, Kalima, as a protester, or we could affirm and just say God is one God. But no, we first say that in Arabic, which means no. That in itself is a protest. We can not only say that God is one God, but we say no God but God. That carries a message of one who is protesting. Many of us are afraid to get in the moral army to fight for moral excellence in our immediate surroundings. Many of us are afraid to get in the army for better education. Many of us are afraid to get in the army for better living conditions in our neighborhoods. Many of us are afraid to get in the army of protest by the consumer against those who ignore this humanity, treat man as though he is a vile animal, selling him inferior merchandise at high prices. So when God is our greatest love and when our desire is to be pleasing before him more so than it is before our associates, then we will have the strength to do what is required of us. Many of us fail to get in the army of law-abiding citizens. When we see moral violators all around us, such as thieves, shoplifters, and vandals, many of us live with these things without a burden on our conscience. If you can tolerate those things, you are not the Muslim community that God wants. A Muslim community must rise up to the challenge and meet the challenge. God has obligated us to go against and resist all that is bad. We are to insist upon what is good, what is excellent, and we are to prohibit what is wrong, bad, or degrading. We cannot claim to be Muslims if we are not willing to wear that principle and bear that responsibility, for God says, if you fail, I will rise up another people, and they will not fear the accusations and the criticism of those who criticize. Many of us cannot accept being unpopular. We say to ourselves, oh, God knows my heart. But if I go all the way with this religion, I am going to be unpopular with my associates. Well, if that is the way you feel and think, then you are not the one to carry out that great responsibility God has placed upon the Muslim of advancing right and resisting wrong. Those who carry out that responsibility must first be strong enough not to be disparaged, hurt, checked, or made weak by the fear of being unpopular. We cannot be strong if we worry about being unpopular when God is our greatest love and when our desire is to be pleasing before him more so than it is before our associates. That is when we will have the strength to do what is required of us. It is a requirement for the Muslim to obey the will of God and to please him of what he has asked of us. That is the real Muslim. That is what it means when we say a Muslim is one yielding to the will and yielding to the spirit of God. It means that you live most of all to satisfy what God has required of you. You live to meet God's demands and not the expectations of the people of their expectations against what God has asked of you. Many of us have fallen short in living the life of a Muslim as a follower of Prophet Muhammad. Many have fallen short because they just don't know. Therefore, it is an obligation on us, on those who know, to bring the message clearly to the people. That obligation was on our Prophet, and he informed us that the same obligation or burden is on those who follow him. God says to us in the Quran, O you who believe, bow down and prostrate yourselves and adorn your Lord and do good that you may prosper and strive in his cause as you ought to strive with sincerity and discipline. He has chosen you and has imposed no difficulty on you in religion. It was the faith of your father Abraham. It is he who named you Muslim, both before and in this revelation, that the messenger may be a witness for you and you be a witness for mankind. From the above verse, we see that the prophet will be a witness for us before God. If we carry out our responsibility, then when we are before God, we will be a witness and say, God, those people had no excuse for what they did and for the path they took. We lived true to our religion amongst them. God didn't say that the prophet and his followers are witnesses to Muslims only. He said that we are witnesses to the people, meaning all people, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims. It is also an obligation on the Muslim to warn their near relatives. The Holy Quran says, and warn your nearest kinsmen. Then if they disobey you, say, I am free of the responsibility for what you do. Conversion to Islam was by good conduct. Many nations became Muslim not because someone preached to them, but because they observed the life of good Muslims in their nation and decided that they wanted to be a Muslim. That happened in much of Africa. The Africans saw the life of the Muslims, and they were attracted to that life. Certainly, there was preachers, but most of the conversion came by the excellent example of Islamic life that Muslims lived. Out of necessity, the Muslims traded and visited with Africans, and many of them came to introduce the religion. But the religion grew in Africa because of the good example that Muslims showed to all people by living the excellent Islamic life. And this is the way we want to be. We want to live the Islamic life so that it may be an influence on others who observe how we live. Indonesia, a country that has the biggest Muslim population, was converted in the same way. Indonesia has over 100 million Muslims, and nobody came there and conquered them with weapons. Nobody preached them into the religion with a missionary movement to convert them. Indonesia became Muslim because it dealt with Muslim traders and Muslim business people. They were converted by the lifestyle of the good Muslim. These are the facts that everyone should know, especially the Muslim. For centuries, there has been an ugly war of false propaganda against the religion of Islam, and we want to correct this incorrect view by our example and lifestyle. It is not good for an imam to come out on Friday, Juma, and Sunday with it kutbah, lecture, and then go back to the people, not see him anymore until the next Friday. This is especially so if he is not working on a job or if he does not have a business to run. Prophet Muhammad didn't regard those who only devoted themselves to ritualistic and spiritual devotion when the same regards as those who were devoted spiritually, as well as working to help build the foundation of the community. Prophet Muhammad was a man who did both. Allah tells Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, in the Quran, rise up and warn. And in another place, he says, stand to pray by night, but not all night, half of it or a little less. Truly, the rising by night is most potent for governing the soul and most suitable for framing the word. True, there is by day prolonged occupation with ordinary duties. We learn from this verse that God is telling the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, not to spend so much time in prayer at night, that he would be too tired to carry out his duties in the community during the day. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, had no off days. He was busy every day. There are some Muslims who take Sunday as a day of rest. Sunday is no rest day. Sunday is a work day. Muslims have no rest day, not even Friday. God tells us that when we hear the call to prayer on Friday, leave off business and respond to the call to prayer. And when the prayer is over, go our many different ways back to productive work. Adhan is essentially knocking on the conscience. So the Muslim community should be a dynamic community, rising up to every challenge. Our call to prayer, the Adhan, essentially means that which knocks on the conscience. It is designed or formed to get our awareness, to get our attention. So we give the call five times daily to make the Muslims aware of their concerns, and our most important concern is to be worshipers of God, who respond to him as he ordered us. The Quran, Surah 73, Ayat 1-6, stand in prayer. In night, best frame words. One, O thou falling in garment. Two, stand to pray by night, but not all night. Three, half of it or a little less. Four, or a little more, and recite the Quran in slow measures, rhythmic tone. Five, soon shall we send down to thee a waiting message. Truly thy raising by night is most potent for governing the soul and most suitable for framing the words of prayer and praise. Seven, truly there is for thee by day prolonged occupation with ordinary duties. For Allah has brought back the truth through Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, and that truth is this, that is night that feeds man's human nature, gives him that peace, that quietness necessary for him to see realities of his life better. There are some animals that can see in the dark. Some can see in the light. Some can see in both the light and the darkness. So the human being can see in both the night and in the day. He can see in the day with his physical eye. But we see best at night, in the night, with our mind. So when it is dark, we can think better. We can listen to the voice of the heart, conscience, and hear it better. We can find the hidden answers that the daylight won't uncover. But in the night, we can find the hidden answers. In fact, even in the day sometimes when we are thinking deep, we close our eyes. We like to turn the light off because it is better. It helps us to think a little better. God has said it. You will find the night conducive, verily good for framing the word, the right word. And isn't that the struggle of the intelligence, not to just come up with an idea, but to frame it in the right words so that message can be passed on to others so they understand it? Many times we get an idea but we can't pass it on to others because it is not in the right words. We can't make it plain. The Quran Surah 73, Ayat 4, Quran recites slowly with rhythmic tone. Now, on your job, working, condition, situation, they found the worker that need the best maximum benefit from the environment to do their work. They're thinking on what is conducive to their requirement. They find that by making the place pleasant, it appears, its appearance and everything, the environmental surroundings to the senses, the eyes, and by having music, low, not high volume, melodious music, they found that it raises the intelligence and the thinking ability of their workers. So this was recently reported, although they have been doing similar studies. So if they know this, why do we come, they give up, masses all this fast stuff to shatter their brain? They don't love you. They care nothing for you. So we have to care something about ourselves. And if we go on and follow that stuff after knowledge, better, we deserve whatever comes to us, deserve what they're giving us. Quran slow recited brings out the intuitive light. Just one other thing I want to say to bring you to what we really should be looking at, and that is the Quran that's advanced over time, that's supposed to be some new sciences they discovered. And in the Quran, 1,400 years old, you are to read it in slow, rhythmically, so you can get the intelligence and the meaning from it. You speed it up and you won't get it. And at the same while, you are having time to think about it and digest it. So the slow music recital of the Quran is bringing out the intuitive light, bringing it to the surface. The Quran Surah 73, Ayat 5-6, weighty words sent down. What did Allah promise to Muhammad? While he was revealing to him, he said, I'm going to teach you. God told him that. Some will say, yes, he was teaching him when he was giving him the Quran. Yes, but that's not all of it. No. He told Prophet Muhammad that he was going to send upon him a weighty word. And Allah says to Muhammad that he found him drooping, drooping meaning straining under weight, a lot of weight on him, didn't he? When he received the first sign of revelation, go to his wife, and burdened and strained, and she told him of an uncle who was a Christian and had knowledge of Scripture. He had no knowledge of Scripture. He was unlettered, so he had no knowledge of Scripture. She told him of that uncle. The uncle talked to her, and she talked to him, and didn't his burden begin to be little lighter? So though we have already begun receiving revelation, it burdened him. Why? Because it is a heavy and hard to understand for a man that's not educated. But God says he will educate him. And God educated him. You have a living proof in me. The Quran Surah 74, Ayat 1-3. O you in mantle, arise warm. The Quran Surah 39, Ayat 39, work in your place. The Holy Quran guided us to common sense. It is a common sense message, although it contains very complex ideas. In the very beginning of the revelation to Prophet Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him, he was told by God, O you who are wrapped in your mantle cloth, stand up and warn the people. God is going to give to you a weighty word. Although the Quran appealed and directed us to common sense, it still has all that is needed to satisfy the intellectual. But what am I trying to do? In this article, it is to try and make what Muslims should be doing in the United States very simple and clear. God makes it very clear and simple in the Quran as to what Muslims should be doing. When he says, work in your place, I am a worker, God is telling us in the above verse that he is not an idle God or a God at rest. Accordingly, Muslims don't believe in a static universe or a God that is resting. I'm not trying to address any differences in anyone's religion. I just want to bring that message to you to hope that Muslims and others will appreciate what is being said to them by God, that he does not rest and that he never took a rest. The Holy Quran gives us an excellent description that is simple and clear of how God relates to his creation. It says, God, there is no God but he, the living, the self-subsisting, eternal. No slumber can seize him, nor sleep. He is all things in the heavens and on earth. Who is there can intercede in his presence except as he permits? Well, this verse tells us that God is active every moment of the day. There is not a single second during which he is not active in a wonderful work. Muslims have to believe that if we believe that God took a rest, it will make us want to take a rest. And if all of us take a rest, we will be without anything. Muslims must also understand that though we have heard of al-Islam in the West, for the most part, it has been incorrectly presented. We need the true report on this religion, how it was revealed, the Prophet Muhammad prayers and the peace be upon him, what it did to end the Dark Ages, how it brought the Arabs, who were steeped in ignorance and corruption, to the peak of civilization, where they became the beacon light of the intellectual liability for the human being. Al-Islam made possible the regeneration of scientific interest and scientific progress for the whole world. So this is it's a fact of history. And if you don't believe what I'm stating, all you have to do is study the medieval age and the influences of Al-Islam upon the period. The Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, began his mission. Most of the people were ignorant. In fact, it is referred to as the age of ignorance in Arabia, addressing the need to make the people literate. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, instituted a public program for educating all of the people. Most of them could not read, so he taught them to read the Quran. Education and obligation on every male and female, study from the cradle to the grave. Do the majority of Muslims born in America are literate in English? They are illiterate when it comes to the Arabic language. Therefore, if they are to get the great benefit of the Holy Book, they must study the Arabic language. And you should not think that you are ever too old to study the Arabic language. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said that we are to gain knowledge. To become educated is an obligation on every male and female born in the Muslim society. Furthermore, he said that the obligation to acquire knowledge is on the individual from the cradle to the grave. No matter how old you are, if you accept what he has given us, you feel an obligation to increase your knowledge. If you are not in school, you should return to school in some way or other. You should always remain a student. You should die a student. That should be the commitment of every Muslim. The only way Muslims can be strong in Islamic knowledge is to turn to the pure Islamic sources such as the Quran, the Hadith, literature, traditions, through the Sunnah, practices, and history of Prophet Muhammad, prayers, and the peace be upon him. Muslims must study the wisdom and of the learned, companions of the Prophet, prayers, and the peace be upon him, and the wisdom of those learned imams which survived the early days of the Muslims and whose knowledge was passed on to us. We must study and learn that knowledge. And as you do, you will become strong in knowledge. There was a great man who once lived amongst the African American race who said, you will never become however you gain knowledge, you will not be enough. In fact, all that is written within the human possibility is not enough unless we also exercise that which is within our moral possibility. It is the moral urge and the moral commitment to man that will preserve his life and progress. We can learn all of the wisdom in the Quran, the wisdom in the textbooks of a college or a university, but if we lose the context of our moral life, we cannot go forward. The proof of how moral deficiency affects us in the whole of our life is by what we now see taking place in America today. Race stops addressing race. Start addressing man. The Islamic religion was revealed for all people. As Muslims, we will have to appeal to our audience from a positive other than that of a racial concern. Racial concerns are too small and narrow. We must stop addressing race and start addressing man. We have to stop designing our material to appeal to just blacks. That is in the indigenous African American. So we have to design our educational material, our books, our propagation, dawah material, to appeal to the universal man. So this religion was revealed for all people, and that is the spirit we must come into. We should not hesitate to carry the message of Islam to the Englishman, a Hispanic, an American Indian, a Chinese, or to anyone, whether he's race, don't hesitate to carry it to him, because in this spiritual situation that now exists in America, the lost, misplaced values and confused concerns, everybody should be given an opportunity to hear and accept this religion. This is what we must believe. If you believe this is your heart, you will grow to be strong people. The Quran, Surah 7, Ayat 32, 7 and 31. Clothes, clean, times, place of prayer. The Quran, Surah 74, Ayat 1 to 4. O you wrapped in a mantle, arise and warm. The Quran, Surah 10, Ayah 16, Prophet lived a lifetime amongst you. The Quran, Surah 68, Ayah 4, Prophet is one that exalts character. Al-Hadith, page 1, 663 and 1, cleanliness is half religion. Al-Hadith, page 1, 674, 28, cleanliness is half religion. Keep the environment, the neighborhood clean. So the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, was told by God in the Quran, and make your personal environment clean. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, in the Quran. Knowing the life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, that was 40 years before he received any communications from God. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says of him, for the whole period of 40 years. Surely we have seen you on a mighty foundation of character. He was already an excellent human being in the model of human life that the Creator wanted or intended for us. God did not have to tell Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and that peace be upon him, become a clean man. He told him to keep his environment clean. He kept his environment clean. Believe me, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say your private or personal environment clean? He is speaking through Muhammad, prayers and that peace be upon him to us. And that will help us understand many things that God said. To him is not because Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, needed it. He is speaking through Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, to the general masses of people on this planet Earth, and especially those of his followers, the Muslims, who follow him. Thought, think about this. God says, your environment, your immediate place where you have to live and take care of yourself and your family, keep it clean. So cleanliness is faith in your creation as God made it. You have heard the saying, cleanliness is next to godliness. Cleanliness is an expression of faith. So when you want to keep yourself clean, you don't like filth on you. That is an expression of faith. Faith in your creation as God made it. Faith in your creation in its best condition as God created it, an expression of faith, cleanliness. Muklasina carries the logic to its conclusion. Devotion, religion is for God. Muslims are supposed to see the logic and then take it to its logical conclusion. God speaks of muqtaliyats, referring to one person. Muqlisina lahudin. It is a plural form of the word, referring to all of us. It means we are the ones who take the logic to its conclusion. And for God is religion. Why does it say for God is religion? Most of the people who take responsibility for giving the people what God revealed to be their religion, they make the religion their business, supporting them. Even the world has done this. The world has taken religion to be something that just supports whatever it wants. If it's politics, then it's politics. If it's money, it's money. If it's show-off life, it's show-off life. Most of the people in religion, I'm not presenting and representing the life that God, the Creator, wants for us on this earth, on this planet Earth. Most of the Muslims too. I said most of the people. So most of the Muslims are not presenting and representing what the Creator, the real God, wants for human beings on this planet Earth. Their religion is a party time thing. Dress up and go out and feel good, flatter God with a whole lot of stuff and go right back to your nasty life and to your cheating life, cheating on your wife, cheating on your family, cheating on your children because they obligate you. They have a right. Cheating on the neighborhood, society, cheating on the world. So cleanliness is the beginning of life. As neglected baby becomes, beginning of life, as a neglected baby becomes a filthy man. So cleanliness is the beginning of life. So it is in the nature of all new babies or new humans, life to dislike filth. The baby just came. The filth did not break any blisters, make any blisters. It did not hurt the skin at all. But the baby, the infant, is crying, letting mama know, I have filth on me. And if she ignores that baby, it will become conditioned to live with filth on it, and we will have a filthy black man in the neighborhood. I'm talking to you mothers. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, Where there are no decent women, there can be no decent men. The Quran Surah 75, Ayat 1. Nafs wa wama, self-accusing spirit. The intellectual being who has formed as a thinker, personal, respond to intelligence rather than to emotion, self-accused. You can look at yourself and judge yourself. Sadaqallahu al-Adeem, surely Allah speaks the truth. Before we go this evening, we're asking everybody to pray for our beloved Sheikh Qasim Nathari's daughter, Tamina. She's in the hospital. Pray for her. Believe me, prayer works. And you don't have to be a Muslim to pray for her. Allah says in the Quran, He hears the prayers of every supplicant that calls on Him. And with a will, listen to His call so that you can walk in the right way. Thank you, may God guide us. We thank New Africa, excellent Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. We will continue this next Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means if it please God. Thank you, may God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be on you. And once again, thank you for listening.